Today's Mishnah in Masechet Taharot, we have the last two Mishnayos in Masechet Taharot, is Perek Hasiri, and we got up to Mishnah Zion. Am I correct? Mishnah Zion. So we've been discussing the chashash of finding some tumah, where we brought things up to the roof, and whether it was there before, and whether we find some sheretz on one of the leaves that are covering the olives we spoke about. How about in a case where you're already finished the entire process, and now you've got this bor, either a bor of yayin or a bor of shemen, and now you're starting to decant it. Now you're putting it into various containers or barrels, and you fill up a barrel, and let's say you do 10 barrels, and then you find in the first barrel, when you go, you want to cover it up, maybe. We'll see what happens if it was covered immediately. So you find a sheretz in that first barrel. So then, what's the deal? Well, everything in that bor was definitely tummy. Because, look, either the sheretz was in the bor, okay? If the sheretz was in the bor, so then obviously everything in the bor had already been mekabel tuma. Or the sheretz was in the barrel. But the thing is that over here you were being zolef. Zolef means that you put the entire barrel. Again, remember, a chavis is not what we call, these gigantic wooden barrels. So you put the entire chavit, lowered it into the, and it's also, it's not wood that's going to be soaking with this. It's porcelain or earthenware. So you had lowered it into the oil, or you'd lowered it into the wine. So if there was a sheretz in there, it was metame anyway, everything in the bor. So there's no way out of the fact that over here you're talking about the entire bor being tame, because there's no other option. Basically, it only could have gotten in there before. Okay, the only possibility is, and the rest of the mission, at the end of the mission, we're going to talk about this in a sense, is the question of maybe as you were filling it up, it fell in. Okay, that is a possibility, but we assume that since you were holding it and you were working with it, that you would have seen at the time. Now, suppose you find a sheretz in the last barrel, b'achrona. So then if it's in the last barrel that you filled, so obviously everything in that barrel was tameh, but the first barrels, we don't have to assume that over here the sheretz was actually in the bor, because remember the klal, kan nimtza, kan haya. So one of the important klalim here in the Masechet Taharot is that we're not marzik tuma mimakom lemakom. So therefore, if it was in the first barrel, so we understand that there's no way out of it. That had to have been in the bor, either when we filled the barrel or even before. But in this case, we say kan nimtza kan haya, and we're not machzik that it was there from before. So what we have to say, therefore, is, okay, it was in this barrel from before, and the stuff in this barrel is tameh, but the stuff that we had taken out before is not tameh. But when do we say that? Amos, when do we say that if something was found in the first barrel, that for sure it was matameh, everything in the bor, and all the other barrels are also tummy. That's only bisman shuhu zolef b'kol achat v'achat. That is where you actually, instead of having a dispenser of some kind, you go directly from the bor into the container. You lower the container, fill it up, next, and so on. But what's usually done, the truth is that you use some type of device which is called a machatz. So it's like it's a small container or a large spoon-like ladle affair. So if you were doing that, so then we don't have the assumption that it must have come into contact with everything. So if he was zolef b'machatz, nimtza sheret b'achad mehen, he tmeah bilvad. If any one of these barrels, even if it's the first barrel, has a sheretz in it, why should we assume that the entire bor is tameh? Probably it was in the original before we noticed it was in the original barrel, and it never came into contact with the other oil or the other shemen or the other wine that's in the bor. So he tamei abovad. All of the other ones would be tamei. And again, kan nimtza kanaya. We found it here. We're not marzik tuma mimokam lamokam. There would not be a problem. But this idea also is not always true. Ematai. When do we say that we're only going to be metame the single chavis that had the sheretz in it? That's dafke bizman shehu bodek. It's in a case where you check it out before this guy is careful. He checks out the barrel and he makes sure that there's nothing in it before he puts anything into it. The only thing is that he doesn't immediately bung the barrel. He leaves it open. So he'll pour it in with his machatz, leave it open for a while, fill up all of the barrels, then go back, and he's going to start covering them. So if he was not mechaseh, okay, so then again, kanimtza, kanhaya, it fell in, so fine, he checked it before, so it fell in after, because he left it open. Or even if he does actually cover the barrels, if he doesn't make sure to check it before he fills it, we'll also say, kanimtza, kanhaya, o mechaseh velo bodek. But if he checks it before, and then he pours it from the machatz, and then he also covers it on the spot, if he was both bodek and mechaseh, so then if we find the sheretz in a chavit, the only way that we can explain that is that it was actually transferred there together with the machatz. But if that's the case, then it already touched everything that was in the bor. It couldn't have been in the actual chavis, because we checked the chavis, we said. Couldn't have been in the machatz, because we checked the machatz. It couldn't have fallen afterwards, because we covered it over right away. So what's the explanation? The explanation is that it was in there, somewhere in that bor. We didn't see it in the oil. We didn't see it in the wine. And therefore, everything is tamei in that case. The same thing would be true that if you find a sheretz in the bor itself, we also have to assume that it was tamei, because there's no way that it would be falling over here. If you're telling me that we covered everything, there's no way that it would be falling later. If you find it in the machatz, which is that device that you use to ladle out the contents of the oil into the chaviyot, also hakol tamei. Because before you started working, you know, it's talking about a case where you checked all your kalim. And since it was clean before, so then how did it get in there now? I'm holding it. I didn't fall in. I was looking at it. Must be that it was in the bor, and it went into the machatz when I put the machatz in. So then there's no way to avoid that it was there inside of the bor. The only other explanation would be what? That as I was ladling it, the sheretz got in. I mean, I would have seen that. It's much more mistaber that it was clean, and then I took it out and didn't realize that it had been covered with wine, and I hadn't seen it before. And now, our final Mishnah in Masechet Taharot. Okay. Now this goes back to the big topic in this Masechet, which has taken up tremendous amount of space in the Masechet, is the nafkamina between a Safek Tuma Brishus HaRabim and a Safek Tuma Brishus HaYochid. What's interesting is that if you're talking about a industrial project, there are areas that nobody goes into without a hard hat. There's areas that are open to people walking around. So therefore, it is not necessarily the case that we give one din to a Beit Abad. It depends what area in an industrial project, what area you're in. So for instance, you could be Bein ha'igulim lezagin. So you've got this whole area between the igulim. The igulim are the very heavy. They're not made out of stone. They actually would make them out of cement. And their igulim are like these, they're round. They look like the round stones. And those are used for extra heavy jobs of pressing, where after you've done the main pressing, you will put those on the skins that are left behind to try to get whatever is left inside of them. So you've got these piles of skins on one side of the storage room, and you've got these very heavy igulim on the other side. That area is called Rosh Hasharabim, because you can't lift those things on your own. You're always going to need three or four people just to do the heavy lifting. And because of that, this is an area where there's a lot of people that are doing the work, and because of that, it's called Rosh Hasharabim. So any suffix in that area, remember, when we're dealing with Tuma, suffix is learned out from Nida, keep saying that, from Sota, and over there, three is a crowd. So in this case, since we always have three, because we need three people to move it, so you'll always have a suffix Tuma Rosh Hasharabim, which will be Mekel in these areas. But how about if you're in, let's say, a vineyard? So there are sections that are not yet worked on. Those sections that are not worked on, people do not go into vineyards. Kerem Shelifnei Abotzrim is still called Rosh Hasharabim. The moment that the people that do the work of harvest go through a kerem, it's overrun by people for the simple reason that all of the poor are sitting and waiting till this guy gets around to being both his kerem, and they are hoping to be able to get the peret and the eloleis and the leket and so on. So they're very happy to run in there. So therefore, you certainly are going to have three people in that area. And that's called a Rosh Hasharabim. Ematai, but when do we consider it a Rosh Hasharabim? It's not a function of whether you have a right to be there. It's a function of whether it is actually convenient to be there, and it's a place where the rabbim have access to. So therefore, ematai, when do we say that the area that is open for aniyim is considered to be a Rosh Hasharabim? That's only where you have rabbim nichnasim bezo, v'yotzim bezo. Let's see if you've got this closed-off vineyard. So it's got a door that's open. People don't feel all that comfortable coming into a completely sealed-off yard. So if it's a place where you can enter in one side, do the looking around and trying to get what you can, and then walk out the other side. So, okay, then people feel very comfortable. They're walking through, and that's called Rosh Hasharabim. But if you can't actually walk through it, then it's just uncomfortable. You feel like you're invading, and not as many people are going to be walking into an area where it's next to the place where people are still working and harvesting, and they're not going to walk in there. All right, so therefore, we've got sometimes where we're dealing with making wine. How about if we're dealing with making oil? So we know the areas, we gave examples, areas when it comes to oil, when it comes to wine rather, areas that are Rosh Hasharabim, areas that are Rosh Hasharabim. How about the equivalent where we need to deal with actually making things tahor? So now, in such a case, we've got to worry about anything that had been absorbed from before that was mashke tameh. You can't just go ahead and put something in a mikveh and say that that makes it tahor. Because if it's still dripping wine from the inside or oil that's on it, how are you going to get that off and make sure that it won't simply leak out and be metamed again? Because remember, when you're dealing with mashkin, even a mashu is able to be metamed. So how can you be metire it? Well, kli beit habad v'shalagat. So in this case, we could take both the wine and the oil. So you've got these kelim that you were using in the press, which are things like the eko beit habad. So this is talking about the squished olives that you put in there, and you leave it there. This is after the pressing. You leave it there. You put, again, these heavy stones or these pieces of cement on them. And this is a basket, ekel, and it leaks out gradually from there. How in the world are you ever going to get that clean of oil. So if it's made out of wood, okay, wood, you can actually wash it out. And the din is in the Gemara that you have to use some kind of absorptive material. Let's say you use ashes. So you put ashes in it, soaks up the things, wash it off, dry it well, and then you can put it into a mikvah. That's if it's wood. But how about if it's something that is much more absorptive? It's supposed to be made of gemi. Gemi is like reeds. I mean, that's filled with oil or filled with wine. So how exactly would you get them to be clean in such a way that you can rely that there's nothing that's going to leak out of being metame them again? So if bizmanchen shogemi, there's no way that you can actually immediately make them roy, unless there's two things you could do. You can easily let them stay there till next year. So 12 months later, they're considered to be dried out. And then you can put them in the mikveh before the next run. Suppose you want to use them immediately. The only thing you can do is you actually have to boil them out. So you can take water that you've boiled up in a large kettle, pour it over, and that way, if you use enough hot water, you can actually get out any of the mashkim tameim that have been absorbed into the gemi. Rabbi Yossi says, I got a better idea. Rabbi Yossi's idea is that im nitanan b'shibolat hanahar dayo. Suppose you've got a flowing stream that has a nice, real solid current in the middle, and it's running the whole time. If you put it directly in running water and you leave it there, and there too, the Gemara says we're talking about, you leave it there for an eina achas, so it's 12 hours. So either you leave it the entire day, you leave it the entire night, that's enough, because then it's the actual pressure of the running water that will do the same thing as the boiling water that you pour on at one time, and you can then put it in the mikveh. Okay, so this brings us Hadra Allah Perek HaNoel, and hopefully Bezrat Hashem, we will also be Hadar on the Sefer Taros completely.